We begin the current daf Masechtas Chulin daf Nun Vav. We begin 3 lines down the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the same theme we set up until now, we have 2 Mishnahs, Elu Trefis and Elu Tsheris, talking about animals. Now we move on to Eifis, to birds, to fowls, regarding their same halachas. Says the Mishnah, the Elu Trefis Ba'if, and these are the laws of Trefis that apply to birds, which, although all Trefis that apply to animals in the parallel apply to birds, but our Mishnah had to specify and delineate certain ones as chidushim, as novelties that apply to the laws of birds. And they are nekuvis havesh. If there's a hole in the esophagus, which that wasn't necessary to say, that was necessary because of the equivalent of the other pipe, upsaikis hagargeris. If the trachea is severed, that halacha was necessary to say because that one shouldn't say, wait a second, The life force of a bird is not as strong as that as an animal. As we find, to kill and slaughter an animal, you require the slaughtering of the two pipes, but by a bird, all you require is one pipe. So therefore, I would say by the trachea, that by a bird, it would be a trache even with just a small amount. That's what we're saying, that no, it's only if it's severed, but not if it just has a puncture like it is by the esophagus. So to continue the Mishnah, hikasa chulda, if a weasel goes and hits, now when we're saying hitting, we mean biting with its teeth. Because if it would be hitting like with its claw, the Gemara already said enough Nun Gimel and Aleph that there is halacha of drusa, of clawing by a weasel to birds, and then that halacha wouldn't be like our Mishnah is talking about specifically on its skull. It would be anywhere opposite the viscera, by the cavity of the animal, the intestines, it would become a trefa. So when we talk mahikas over here, we're talking about where it bites with its teeth, al reisha, on its head, on the skull of the bird, so then we're concerned already for the puncturing of the membrane that's beneath the skull over the brain, then in that type of situation, why do we have to say this case? If it's on the skull, in a place that makam sha'isa isa trefa, that would make the bird into a trefa, meaning in the area of where the membrane is, that it could be punctured. And the chiddush in that is that one shouldn't say that actually it would become a trefa automatically just if the skull is broken, even without a puncturing of the membrane which is beneath that, as we're actually going to say later on that certain types of birds, which are specifically the fowl of the water, the marine fowl, that there that actually does become a trefa with just the breaking of the skull. That's what we're saying. But by regular birds, that there the halacha is that it's only going to be a trefa if the membrane is also punctured. Continues the Mishnah. Nikiv HaKurkavan, if the gizzard is punctured, which that's the equivalent of what the hemsis is by the behema, which is one of the stomachs, one of the four stomachs of the ruminant, so that's the equivalent, and Nikvu HaDakin, if the intestines gets a hole. Now, what's the novelty in that? Actually not. There's no chiddush in that it's going to be a trefa, just like we find by the halacha of the behema. Rather, it was necessary because of the inverse, because the next Mishnah, what we call the Seifa, when it says Eluk Sheris, like it did by animals, it says Elu Trefis, Eluk Sheris, by birds it does the same thing. So some of them are the Chedushim in this Mishnah regarding the Elu Trefis, and then some of them are the Chedushim on the inverse of by Eluk Sheris, which we wanted to say, we say in the next Mishnah, that if the intestines pop out, but they're not punctured, that there it's going to be kosher. That's the chiddush, that we shouldn't say that, oh, maybe a bird that has a very small life force that actually becomes trefa just by being popped out. That's the chiddush that it's not. So therefore we say the inverse over here, that however when it is punctured, that then it is a trefa. Continues the Mishnah, nafla l'ur v'nechmer b'nei me'eho. If the bird falls into the fire and as a live bird and its intestines get shriveled up because of the heat, and moreover, primarily that it changes colors. So then tells us the Mishnah, as the Gemara will explain, we're talking about specifically over here the heart and the korkovan and the gizzard, which are naturally red. So the Mishnah tells us, im yerukim, if they change colors and became green, then psulim, that's in invalidation, that's a trefa. Im adumim, however, if the heart and the korkovan are red as they naturally are, meaning that it didn't change colors, then kshem, then even though it fell into the fire, it's going to be kasha. Continues the Mishnah, the next three cases, Durasa, if let's say a person trampled the bird with its feet, or Viturafa Bakaisal, or he knocked it against the wall, Aishiritsatsta Behema, or if an animal crushed it, which in these three you have to be concerned in the equivalent of by Behema for Risuke Varm, for the disengagement of the limbs that it gets knocked around, that says the Mishnah, that if it's still umar fachesis, it's still, although it's shaking around, but if it's shasa me'es li'es, but if it's maintained for 24 hours, and then b'shachta, then the bird is slaughtered, then kasher, it's going to be kasher, as the Gemara explained after Nanal and Mabez, we still require a bedika, as we'll explain the Gemara too, has to be inspected to make sure everything internally is okay. But the fact that it was maintained for 24 hours, which was, like we said, by the halach of Nefula, by the Behema, so too over here, where there's a concern for Ritzi Gevarm, but if it's after 24 hours, then it's going to be kasher if it was slaughtered. Now, regarding the halach of the Mishnah, Hikasa Chulda al Roisha, so Rav Shmuel v'Levi Damri, they all three said that although there's a concern of treifa, because the weasel had take a bite out of the bird's skull, what you could do is machnas yodi lefnim. The person could put his hands inside the mouth of the bird, where is opposite the area where the weasel had bit the head of that bird. Ubaidik, and he could inspect by pushing his finger opposite the palate of the bird, which is the top part of the inside of the mouth, and then push up opposite the brain going upwards. And then if the brain is mevatzvitz va'ela, bubbles up and goes through the hole of the wound of the head, the skull where the weasel had bit, so then treifa. So then the animal's a treifa, because you got to be concerned that it made a hole in the membrane, because how's it popping up through here? The brain, obviously the membrane's not keeping it inside. But vimlav kshera, but if it doesn't bubble up, although there's a head, the hole in the skull, obviously that the membrane's still keeping it inside, and that's why it's not being pushed up, and then obviously it didn't puncture the membrane, it's going to be kosher. So on this option, this technique, as the Gemara, Hanich Lamandama, this is very well according to the one who says, which mentioned previously, that Memhemet Aleph, regarding the invalidation about the membrane being punctured, that was said that Ademankiv Karma, that the animal is not going to be considered a trefa until it punctures the upper membrane, and Tata, and the lower membrane. So that obviously is a very good technique, because if nothing comes out, then if either one of the membranes is still maintained, that's keeping it inside, so that's going to be kosher, because to be considered treifa, you have to have both membranes being punctured. But elmando ama inkavi law, but according to the one that says that the animal is going to be considered treifa if even just the upper membrane is punctured, avagavdala inkav tata, even though the lower membrane is not punctured, where just if the upper one is punctured, it becomes a treifa. So then the question is, then why did they, those three Amiram, say that if it doesn't bubble up, if it doesn't pop through when he's sticking his finger through the mouth of the bird, that's going to be kosher? But nechesh dil me'ilo inkiv tato lo inkiv. You got to be concerned that maybe the upper one was punctured, which would make it a treifa according to that opinion. And however, the lower one wasn't punctured, and therefore it's not being pushed up, but that should still make it a treifa. And that says the Gemara, no, because he said the inkivi law, if it was the case that, even like that opinion, that if just the upper one was punctured, tata, agav ruchache, the lower one, because that it's so thin and soft, so with the pushing of the finger, when he would push upward, mifka paka, that would burst it anyway. So if he's pushing up and it's not coming through, obviously the upper one is not punctured, and that's why it's going to be kasher, even according to that opinion. However, Amaziri, he says, in bedika l'chulda, there's no inspection for this halach of tarfas of a mishnah regarding the weasel when it bit into the skull of the bird, and the reason is b'mnei sheshineu dakas, because its teeth are very thin, and therefore he says at this point of the Gemara that even if the membrane is punctured, sometimes the brain's not going to come through by the pushing of the finger by the palate, because it's very small, the hole, nothing's going to come through, so therefore that's not a good inspection. That is the Gemara, but v'chishneh dakas mayava. Who cares that it's a very small hole? It's not possible that at least something shouldn't bubble up if there's really a hole that was punctured in the membrane opposite the hole that the weasel had bit in through its skull. So Amar Vayishi says, no, memnei sheshneh dakas va'akumais. It's because its teeth are thin and crooked. So therefore, even when it makes a hole, it makes it in a diagonal. So therefore, even if he's going to be pushing up, and the brain is going to be pushing up because there is a puncture in the membrane, but the skull on top of it is going to be blocking its path because the hole in the skull is not directly opposite the hole in the membrane because it's at a slant. So because that's not going to help to push up, and therefore that's not a good enough inspection. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, Kisalag, when Ziri went up from Babel to Narda, Shalach Lahu, he sent back to them, Devarim Shemarti Lefneichem, Toysem Biyadi. The words that I told you that there's no inspection for a chulda, that when it bit into the head of the bird, it was an error that I had said. Because Baram kach amr mishmeid Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Because however, this is what they said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Baidkin l'chol d'biyad. You could inspect the bite of the weasel on the head of the bird with one's hand, as we'd explained, which was sticking the hand into the palate of the bird. However, he says, we cannot do it with a nail. What that would be is, on the top, over the area of where the hole of the skull was, to see if the nail gets stuck if there's a puncture, it'll get stuck in the hole of the membrane, which what they would do is basically peel away the skull after the animal is slaughtered, and then you move a nail over. If it's not getting stuck, that means it's in the hole. If it gets stuck, that means to say that's where the puncture of the membrane is. Now, however, the reason why that's not done is because sometimes there really would not be a hole, but the nail will make a hole and cause loss to a Jewish person because of the monetary loss now that the bird actually becomes a trefa. So because of that, then that meaning that it becomes a trefa means to say that now we have the hole and we don't know it's going to be causing the hole, and we're going to say that it was a trefa. So because of that, that's not a good option for inspection. But it could be inspected by hand. However, he says, no, you can even check with a nail. And we're not concerned that maybe he's going to be making it he's going to be making the puncture himself as he's doing it right now, as the Gemara explains. Ubeplukta Rabbi Yehuda Reb Nechemya, says the Gemara, this is the same machlokes we have between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Nechemya. Chad badik biyada, one of them would inspect by hand, by sticking the finger into the palate. Chad badik b'machta, and the other one would check with a nail, as we explained. Now, as the Gemara explains, man de badik biyada, the one who would check by hand, amalei l'man de badik b'machta, he would tell the other one, the disputant, whether it be Rabbi Yehuda to Reb Nechemya or the other way around, he would tell the one that would inspect with a nail, he said, Ad masat machal ma'in shal Yisrael, until how long are you going to make a loss for the money of the Jewish people? Because if you check with a nail, it might actually create the puncture, and then you say, oh, look, there's a hole, oh, must have been a trefa, and it's going to cause a loss for Jewish people on their money. On that, Amalei man debadik b'machta, le man debadik b'yada. However, the one who would check with the nail would tell to the one who checked by hand, he says, no, Ad masat machal Yisrael nevelis. That's not a sufficient inspection. And it might appear that it's kosher, and therefore how long are you going to feed the Jewish people non-kosher food by a nevela? Now, ask the Gemara, nevelas? But v'shchuteh, he's not a nevela. Nevela is when it wasn't properly slaughtered. Here it was properly slaughtered, what is he saying? Eletrefis, what he meant to say was, you're feeding them trefis, because shem nikav krem shel mayach, maybe there actually was a hole in the membrane by the brain. And however, when you're checking by finger, since we said the teeth of the weasel is thin and crooked, it's not bubbling up, but that's not a sufficient inspection. Rather, by the nail, that's a good test that will for sure get that if there's a puncture. And therefore, he said, no, specifically we want to do it by nail and not by hand. Says the Gemara, it's time to be Huda Huda Badik Biyada. Now, we had said it unattributed who was saying which opinion. Says the Gemara, we could prove that it's Rabbi Huda was the one that said that he was the one who checked by hand. Because the time went in the Braisa that Reb Shimon Laza Oimim Shum Reb Yehuda, that he says, Baidkin l'chul de biyad avalei b'masma, that we inspect the hole that the weasel makes by hand, but not with a nail. Again, like we said, because that's going to cause a loss of Jewish money, because it's actually going to puncture it when you're doing with the nail. Now, continues Reb Yehuda, Nishbar ha'etzem, if the skull breaks, the bony part that's on the head, then the bird's going to be a trefa, afapishol inikim krim shamayach, even though that it didn't puncture the membrane of the brain, which the Gemara is going to shortly ask. That seems to contradict what we said, that there is a trefa in the bird only if there's a hole in the membrane, not without, and that's what the inspection of the resha was, biyad. But says the Gemara, tistayim, but that proves at least that Rebbe Yehuda is the one who said, you do biyad, avalei b'machata, but not with the nail. Now, so the Gemara asks, like we said, hagufa kasha. There's an internal contradiction here in this braisa. Amrit boidkin l'chul debiyad avalei b'masma. You said that when the weasel bites into the skull of the bird, so you want to check by hand to see if the membrane was punctured or not, but not with a nail. So amrit is l'bedukusa. So you see that there is an inspection, because you got to inspect, and it's specifically because we don't care if there's a hole in the skull. The main thing, we got to check if the membrane was punctured. V'hadatani, then right after he says, Nishbar etzim, if the skull was broken, avapishalei nikav krim shamayich, even though the membrane was not punctured, that it's going to be a trefa. Amalesli b'dukus, you see, there's no point in inspecting, because even if it's not punctured, it's going to be a trefa. So how do we understand this? Says the Gemara, Seifa Asan La'if Shamayim, as we had mentioned this previously, the last case is talking about the waterfowl. However, in the crime, there's no membrane. So, yeah, the brain's going to come out, which is going to make the animal into a trefa, just if the skull is broken, and that's what the Seif was told about. But you're right, the Reish was told about regular birds, which require that the membrane be punctured to make it into a trefa. And that is the in the crime, so do you really think that the waterfowl, those birds that live in the water, that they don't have a membrane holding in their brain, just a skull? Ella rather says the Gemara, no, it means since its membrane is very soft, so when the skull breaks, so then the membrane is not going to be maintained and it's going to come apart, so therefore automatically when the skull breaks, it's going to be a trefa. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Amalei Rav Nachman L'Ravanan. Rav Nachman said to Ravanan, he says, I'm really wondering about this. Mar Amma, the master, you said to me that you saw Shmuel Badak, that Shmuel inspected after a weasel had bit the skull of a bird, biyada by hand, like we said, sticking into the palate, umachshir, and he validated it like that. So obviously we see that it doesn't become a trefa just by the penetration and the breaking of the skull itself. So to Vahuna Chavanama, our colleague Huna said to me that he saw that Rav Badik biyada machshir, that Rav also inspected by hand, and he validated. So that says, Rav Nachman, he says, well, that's what's bothering me. Votani Levi, because Levi had taught a braisa, trefa shemana chacham bebehema, all the trefas that the sages had enumerated that a trefa is by an animal, connected and beyif. So the equivalent, whatever applies by a bird, would also be a trefa. That would exclude, let's say, the hemsis and the basakaisis, which are two of the stomachs of a ruminant, which that doesn't have by a knife. A knife doesn't have those stomachs, so that wouldn't apply. But whatever does apply would be a trefa by a bird. And yes, ralei knife, and additionally, what the oif has that's a trefa is nishbara etzim. If the skull breaks, even if the membrane of the brain doesn't puncture, it's already going to be considered a trefa, which is worse than that of an animal. So you see that what's the point of inspecting my hand? It doesn't have to puncture. We see even if it was loy nikav krim shamayach, it's a trefa. On that, like we said before, Amalehi answered him, he says, Ahu bo'if shal mayim. That halach of Levi was said by the waterfowl. Since there's no membrane, there if the skull breaks, it's already going to be a trefa. On that, the question is, ain't the krim sagadaitich, the real thing, they don't have a membrane? Ella rather, hoyel v'kremerach, since the membrane is soft, if the skull breaks, then automatically that's going to bust, and then the brains are going to come out, which makes the animal into a trefa. Similarly, the Gemara brings an incident. Hahi turned the gold to the Havabei Rav Chanan. There was this chicken that was in the house of Rav Chanan. Shadru l'kameid Rav Masna, sent it in front of Rav Masna. Now, nishbar ha'etzim, v'leinik of krim shal mayichabi. It was a chicken that the skull had broken, but the membrane of the brain was not punctured. And he says, okay, it's valid. The membrane wasn't punctured. However, Amalei said to him, all the trefas that are by a behema applied to a bird. Yes, Arlei Naif, and additionally, a stringency that applies by birds is Nishbar Etzem, Afa Pishalainik of Krim Shamayach. If the skull breaks, then it's a trefa even if the membrane's not punctured. How can you say it's kasher? And Adam Malay said to him, that's the waterfowl, harva in lekrem, since it doesn't have a membrane, that's going to be a trefa with just a skull breaking. On that, the question is, in lekrem, so good. Do you really entertain to say that there's no membrane? Elaim rather say, it means because the membrane is soft, that's why it's going to become a trefa right away. But again, that's the discrepancy that we have, differentiation between regular birds and the birds that live on the water, where they become a trefa even with just the skull breaking. Continuing on this idea regarding, we said that we inspect when the weasel bites into the skull of the bird to see if the membrane was punctured or not. So Rav Shizvi Badik B'Shimshi, he would actually inspect the membrane in the sun, meaning he would look at it opposite the sun to see if there's a hole, because that light is very good to be able to inspect and see if there's any puncture in the membrane. Now Rav Yemer Badik B'Mai, he would actually inspect through water. What he would do is two interpretations, either that he would empty out all the brain matter from the membrane through the opening, meaning which is the part that goes down to the spinal cord. He would empty it through there, which that's where it's open from, and then he would fill up the whole membrane with water. If it would leak out through the upper part where the wound is, then he knows that there was obviously a puncture in the membrane. Or another interpretation is that what he would do is he would fill up where the hole in the skull is, he would leave the head as it is, and where the hole in the skull is, he would fill up with water, and then he would empty out through the injury from the skull. And then he checks if the water became white. Obviously, some white matter of the brain that's mixed in. How is that getting there if that's encased in the membrane? Obviously, there's some hole in the membrane. And therefore, he would know that it's Nikav Krim Shel Mayach. Now, Reb Acha Bar Yaakov, the key would check as you get Tintam and Beis, Begila the Chitza with a straw from a stalk of wheat, which is similar to what we said regarding using a nail, just it's less severe using that straw and going over the membrane, and you would see if it gets stuck. That means to say that there was a hole, a puncture in the membrane. Now, Amar Rav Shizbi, he makes a qualification. He says, Hani Avazi Didan, he says, our geese, since they're constantly in the water, Ka'if Shal Mayim Damyan, that means to say they're similar to the waterfowl, which essentially that means to say that if the skull breaks, even though that the membrane was not punctured, then it's going to be a trefa, as we said, that's a stringency that applies because of the thinness of the membrane of the waterfowl. Now the Mishnah had said, if nafla lo'ur, if the bird fell into the fire, so we said that if it became green, that the intestines, that then the animal is going to be a trefa. Now, Amr B'yichin Meshur Merbisa Ben Yeshua, he says, Shir Yerukasan, the measurement of the intestines, as we're going to qualify which ones, that when they turn green because it was in the fire, what measurement is that? That's Kishir Nikuvasan, and that's like the same measurement as it becoming a trefa because it was punctured, which Manu Kuvasan B'mashra, just like if the intestines get a hole, it's even with a small amount. After Yerukasan B'mashra, so too, it's turning green, is also the equivalent of like it was punctured over there, and it's going to be possible even with just a small amount. Now, related to this halacha, Baimene Rav Yisa Beredi B'shuban Levi M'Beshuban Levi says, Hayrika Kaved, if the liver turned green, Kineged B'nei Ma'ayim, opposite where it's opposite the intestines, Ma, what's the halacha? Because the liver, the one end of it, hangs opposite the intestines, and one edge of it is higher. Now, if the part of the liver that's opposite the intestines turned green, what's the halacha? So Malay, so Rabbi Shimon Levi said to him, trefa, the animal's a trefa. On that he asked back to him, so even if, let's say, like we said before, that the turning green is like, as if that part is like punctured. But the thing is, we said in the Mishnah of Nundalam and Aleph, if the entire liver is taken away, it's going to be kosher. So even if, let's say, we say that, okay, so the liver, it's green, so it's like it's taken away, but even if the whole liver is taken away, it's kosher. Why, if it turns green, in the part that's opposite the intestines, is that going to be that the animal's a trefa? So Rabba said, Kivin Sharika Kaneged, the Sharika Kavit Kaneged B'nei Ma'ayim, since the liver turned green opposite the area of the intestines, B'yudua Shanafalor. How did it turn green? Obviously, it fell into the fire. V'nech B'nei Ma'ayim. That means to say that the intestines got shriveled up. Utrefa, that's why it's a trefa. That's a sign regarding the other intestines that they were affected so too, and that's how the liver turned green, and therefore that's why the animal is going to be a trefa. Even though if you took away the whole liver, the animal would still be kosher. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Rabbi Shuban Levi Havilahi Tarnagailis. He had a certain chicken, and Shadri Lakame Drabalaza Kapa Beribi, sent in front of Drabalaza Kapa, the great one of the generation. And some of your say, take out the words Amale. Yerukin hava, or he said to him, or it was green, meaning the intestines. Vachshra, and Rabbi Elazar Kapa Beribi said that's going to be kosher. However, vanantan, but then they asked from our Mishnah said Yerukin psulin, if it's green, it's invalid. How could he say that if the intestines are green, that it's going to be kosher? That he said, lo em Yerukin psulin, they didn't say that if it's green, it's invalid. Ela b'kurgavan b'leib or b'kavan, only if it's the gizzard, the heart, or the liver that turned green. But the intestines, if they're green, are kosher. And the Gemara says, Tanim Hoch is similar in the Braisa. Be'elu b'nei ma'ayim amru, regarding which intestines did we say that if they turn green because the bird was in the fire, that then it's a trefa? It's b'kukavin b'leiv u'b'kavit. And however, intestines, if they're green, are kosher. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, havalehu tarnagolten, he had a chicken. Shadu l'kamed r'bavo, he sent in front of Bavo. V'amalei, and he said to him, adumim hava. They're red, the intestines, which they're normally green. Betrefa, and therefore he said it's treif. On that he asked, well, nonsense number. We learn the Mishnah, adumim ksherim. If they're red, they're kosher. A Malay, and this is where we qualify the halacha. He said to him as follows, adumim shahariku, the heart, the gizzard, they're constantly red. When they turn green, then they're pasul. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. But viraikin, those things which are normally naturally green, like the intestines, she'adimu, and they turn red, then they're treifa. So basically, when you turn the opposite color, that's when you become treifa. So depending what it is, like lo yamru adum kashem, we didn't say in the Mishnah that the red ones are kasher, ela b'leiv, b'kukav, and b'kavav, only with the heart, the gizzard, and the liver, which they are normally red. But here, with this thing is normally green, if it turns red, it's actually going to be treifa. Amar Shmuel Bar Chiya, Amar Mani, says, adum sheharikri, regarding something that's naturally red, like we said, the heart, if it turns green, but then v'shlaken, then that was boiled, v'chaz v'dimu, and then, let's say that heart went and now came back red again, then k'sher, then the animal's kasha. My time, what's the reason? Because kutra ayalbu, that means to say that initially it was just smoked up because it was in the fire, and therefore it looked like it was green, but now that, because it was boiled in the water, it took away that color and it's back red, obviously it's really red and not green, and that's why it's kasha. Now, based on that, he says, if that's the case, he says, afu anu noy, but we should also say the same logic in astringency. Adumim chaloy hariku. If there were red organs in the body of the bird, which, when it was put in the fire, did not turn green, but then v'shalokan v'hariku, when it was boiled, it turned green, then treifa, then the animal is a treifa. My time, what's the reason? Ikloy ba'asayu. That means its shame has been revealed, because that means obviously it was nechmeru, it was shriveled up in the fire, and it really did turn colors. It's just because we didn't see it based on its elements, but now that it's boiled, its true colors are being shown, that it really was green and not red, and therefore it's going to be a treifa. Now, based on this, Omer Vashi says, Hilkach, if that's the case, therefore, since we said that sometimes its shame will be revealed when you boil it, so lo leich linish. So a person should not eat a bird that fell into the fire, elabashlaka, only if you first go ahead and boil it, because then we'll be able to reveal its true colors. To which the Gemara says, well, it's not the case. We don't assume a presumption where if it's not recognizable explicitly that there is a possible flaw over here, we're not going to say it's treif, unless it happens that it's boiled, and then we see that there's a flaw, then we'll say, but we don't have to go ahead and boil it to think that maybe really it changed colors, we're just not seeing it, that we don't have to do. Now the Mishnah had concluded, Dirasa, Vitraf, Abakaisal, there was three cases where they were all categories of Risik Evarm, if the animal possibly, the bird, that its limbs got shaken up, which is a type of a treifa, like the halacha of Nefula when it falls by an animal. So in that, the Mishnah said, if you wait 24 hours and then you slaughter it, then it's going to be kasha. Now, on this halacha, Amar Belazar ben Atignas, Meshur Mer Belazar Rabbiyani, he says, Achazu ve'achazu, tzricha bedika. But all these cases, even though you waited 24 hours, so now there's no more concern about Risik Evarm, you still have to do an inspection because of different concerns that maybe the spine broke and maybe the spinal cord broke. We still have concerns, and therefore you still have to do an inspection even though you waited 24 hours and you took care of the concern about Risik Evarm. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, with the inverse, like we said, of the previous Mishnah, of Elu Kasheris Bayis. And these are situations that are kosher by a bird. Nikva Hagargeris. If the trachea just developed a hole, or Ishinistika, or if it was split, or Hiksachulda al Reisha Makam She'eno Eisa Treifa. The inverse of the previous Mishnah, if the weasel bit into the skull of the bird in a place where it would not make it into a treifa because it's not opposite the membrane of the brain. Or Nikav HaZefik, if the crop has been punctured, which is the stomach where the food of the bird gathers over there, that would not make the bird into a treifa. Now Rebbe, I mean, says, Afilo Nitel, says, even if the whole crop was taken out, that still would not make the bird into a treifa, which obviously means say it's not an integral thing for the continuity of the life of the bird. Now, continues the Mishnah, Yatsu b'nei ma'eho v'lei nikva, which this was the chiddush we needed why we said the inverse in the previous Mishnah. If the intestines of the birds were taken out, they were popped out, but they were not punctured, again, these are all things that are kasha by a bird, or nishtabru gapeho, if the bones of the wings of the bird broke, or nishtabru ragleho, or if the feet, which is from the ankle down, that it broke, or even higher than that in the foot, but it wasn't the type of a break that went outwards, because if it actually was Yatz Lachutz, if the bone on the feet broke and got fractured going outwards, a Mishnah later on, the Ein Vamanav, says actually that it would be a treif. But we're talking about that it was either below the ankle or even above, but not such a big break. Or Nimrtu Kenefeho, if it's the large feathers that go over the entire body of the bird, if those were plucked, that would not make the bird into a treif, and that would still be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, however, if the small feathers which are near the flesh of the bird which don't have shafts, which is the down feathers, that if that's taken off, that would be psula, that would make the animal into a draper. We'd say that's integral for its life. Related to the halacha of the Mishnah, Tanabon Lunna Braisa. Maisib Rib Simoy Rib Tzadik, there was an Ninsib Rib Simoy Rib Tzadik, Shaholchul Abri Shana Beloit, they went to make the year halachically into a leap year in the city of Loit. Now, the Shav Sabaini, on their way, they had spent Shabbos in the city of Oine. Now, once they were there, Vahoyer Bitar Pachas, and they ruled regarding the removal of the uterus, to Rebbe Bezefik, like the way Rebbe is in his halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the removal of the crop, that he says that that's going to be kosher. Now, regarding this ruling, the following question. Was it that they said two different independent rulings? And this is what they said. They ruled regarding the removal of the uterus that it's actually forbidden. Like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, that Reb Tarfon said if it's missing the uterus, then you have to feed it to the dogs, because actually it's not kosher. And then Kerebi Bezevik Latera. Then that's a separate thing. They rule like Rebbe of our Mishnah regarding that even if the whole crop is removed, not like the Tanna Kamma, who said just if it developed the whole, that's going to be permitted. Was that what they said? I don't know, maybe it was one sentence, one ruling. Hayru Bitapachas Latera Kerebi Bezevik. They ruled regarding the permissibility of the removal of the uterus, the womb, like Rebbe is in our Mishnah regarding the Zephik, which, in other words, they basically said, the way our previous Mishnah had said, that if the whole aim, the whole uterus is removed, that's still going to be kosher. Aval, but that would tell us, but Rebbe Bezefik, but like Rebbe himself in his halacha of the crop, that they did not hold of, take a letter, it's not clear what was it that they said. Did they rule regarding the uterus, and which is Aser, and they also ruled a different thing like Rebbe by Zephik, that it's permissible even if it's totally missing? Or no, did they rule by the uterus like Rebbe by Zephik, that if the whole thing's removed, it's still going to be kosher? But that was just as a comparison, as an analogy, but not that they held like Rebbe by Zephik itself. Now, I'm a rabbi, B'tayim, some says Rebbe Shuban Levi, says, Gagi Shal Zephik, this crop that we're talking about, the roof of the crop, meaning the upper part in the body of the bird, is Nidin Keveshin. The top part actually is qualified like the esophagus, which that's a more stringent halacha, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that it's even if it has a small hole, would make it into a trefa. Because in contrast, here we have Rebbe saying the whole thing is taken away, it's kosher. Tanna Kamma says, okay, if it has a hole, it's still kosher, none of it's taken away. And that we're saying, but if the top part of the zephik develops a hole, that will have the halacha like the esophagus, and everyone will agree that it's going to be treif, even with just a small hole. That says the Gemara Hecha, where is that? So Amar Bibi Rabbi says, Kol Shen Nimtach, anything that it starts to be drawn towards the esophagus, which starts to narrow, Imai with it, meaning to say from the with the esophagus, which means to say that it goes from the narrowing area going upwards. Meaning we said a similar concept of Memhei Manaf regarding the brain, which we said that anything that's in the skull is qualified like the brain. Anything that from the brain which starts drawing towards the spinal cord starts narrowing, that's what we call being Meishich, that's already considered as the spinal cord, not the brain. Here also we're saying that anything that where it starts narrowing, because the esophagus goes into the crop, so anything that starts narrowing, that's already not considered part of the crop, that's already considered part of the esophagus, and we'll have the halacha of Nekev B'mashu that's going to be a treifim. Now the Mishnah said that Yatsu B'nei Me'eho, that if the intestines of the bird pop out, but it's not punctured, that's still going to be kosher, it's not going to be a treifim. Now that Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he qualifies this halacha and he says, Leishon, we didn't learn this, Elish Lehipech Ben. Only, however, when he put the intestines back inside, he didn't invert them. Avol Behipech Ben, but when he put it back in, he inverted them, that he put the upper part, the upper intestine on the bottom or in the different order than where it's supposed to be in the bird, then trefa, then actually the bird will become a trefa. Because except like the pasuk says in the Varm, Who it says that Hashem is Barach, He made you and He prepared you. What does that mean? Malamish Barach Kadosh Baruch Hu Koinoni is Ba'adam. The word Vaychenenachu means to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the terminology of Eskanoi, that He made for the person bases to put him on, means to say that everything in the person has a base. And that is if you remove the base, then it's not going to be settled as it's supposed to be. Shem nepech achas man en yochalichis, that if any of them become inverted, the person, and so too by the bird, it cannot survive, and therefore that would make it into a trefa. Now, relating to this pasuk, Tanya learned the Braisa, how your mayor, Emir May, would say, "Hu ascha v'chaynecha, he made you and he prepared you." What that means to say is that a person is karacha de kulabe. And here we're referring to the larger person, that of the Jewish people as one person, that it's a village that everything's in there. Because all their rulers, everything is from inside them and not from other people. Where mimenu kahanav, from them are their priests, mimenu neviyah, from them are their prophets, mimenu sar, from them are their leaders, mimenu malachim, from them are their kings. Shnei like it says the pasuk in Zechariah, mimenu pina, from them is their cornerstone, mimenu yosef, from them is the peg, v'goyim, etc. We see that they're internally, that everything is already there, that they don't need to come onto any external elements. Now, a story related to the first interpretation that we bring from the halacha of our Mishnah, hahu rama, the Chazi Elohu Gavra, there was a certain Roman that saw a certain person, the Nafal Me'igra La'ari, fell from the roof to the floor. And Paki Karsei, V'nafig Mayane, his stomach burst and his intestines fell out. Now, Asi Labrei, so this person who witnessed this person that fell, he brought the son of the one who fell, the Shachti Kamei, and he slaughtered the son in front of the father so that he should moan, as we're going to see, and which will then draw his intestines back into his body. But he didn't really slaughter the son. Rather, as we continue to talk about the Zayin Manalv, he did it by capturing his eyes, which is called an optical illusion. He didn't touch the son. He didn't harm him. It just appeared to the father as if he was slaughtered. Now, why did he do this? Because that's related to the halacha that we're talking about. He didn't want to touch the man's intestines because he might put it in, and not exactly as Hashem had made the anatomy, the physiology of the person, so it shouldn't be inverted. So, but when the person saw his son being slaughtered in front of him, Isnagir, he fainted, v'isnach, and he groaned. Ulamayani, when he did that, that pulled his intestines back in. V'chaykti l'krasi, and then that person who saw this whole thing, he then sewed up his stomach, and then that's a way that the person could survive, because if he would have put it back in himself, that would have made the man into a trefa, like we said, regarding the salacha of the bird too, where although if the intestines go out, it's not a trefa, but only if when it's put back in, it's not inverted, because then the person that sewed to the bird cannot survive, and then it's considered a trefa.